Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We're going to begin in chapter 37, and I'm going to just be looking at the paraphrase of this. Bezalel made the testimony box of shittim wood, 2.5 cubits, which is 45 inches long, 1.5 cubits, 27 inches wide, and 1.5 cubits, 27 inches high. He overlaid both the inside and outside of it with pure gold. He also made a crown molding of gold at the top. He cast 4 rings of gold for the 4 corners of it. 2 rings were to be placed on each side.
Now, I had her read that rather than just read the King James that talks about the Ark of the Covenant. And there's a reason for it. I mean, if you look at the Hebrew and you understand what the structure of all this, okay, it's a wooden box. It gives you the dimensions. It's a box 45 inches long.
What is it,
27 inches wide and 27 inches high. It's a box. This box is made for the purpose of carrying the covenant in it, the Ten Commandments that are in stone, okay? And so this is to be put in the box. Later on, you find that Moses was told to put a golden bowl of the manna. And then later on, Aaron's rod that budded. Now, in the King James Version, people in the Western society just hear this as Ark of the Covenant, but not so in other languages. They hear it as a box, and then the cover that goes over it, they don't hear mercy seat, they hear lid, because that's what the Hebrew says. The Hebrew says lid. Okay? Is it like that in French? It's lid and box. Okay.
Yes.
And so what we want you to see is this. This is called the testimony or witness. Now, what's he saying? In this box is the witness. The testimony is what a witness gives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in this box is God's witness of the covenant. You keep this witness of the covenant with you all the time. And it's holy, so it has to be properly handled. Okay? You can't touch the box. You have to carry it on poles. Okay? And this box is made of shittim wood overlaid with pure gold. Now, the lid on the box is solid gold with the cherubim, one on one end, one on the other end, facing one another, with their wings spread out and their faces looking down at the top of the lid, which is called mercy seat. Now, the reason that it's called mercy seat is that's where when the high priest would go in annually on the Day of Atonement, and he would sprinkle the blood on that lid, and incense is burned in there. And so what is it? It's God's mercy over the nation, God's mercy to give them a covenant and to keep a covenant. You understand? God's mercy, life. That's what the manna was, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at Aaron's rod that budded, God's mercy, authority. You understand? And so all this thing with the covenant, the life, and the authority comes out of the mercy of God, because that's what's in the best interest of the nation. And so this is what we wanted to see. You could just get used to saying Ark of the Covenant and not even have any idea of what it means. Well, you're talking about Noah's Ark? You understand? When you think of Ark, you think of a boat floating. No, this is a box that's carrying a covenant in it, and it's called the witness, testimony. Okay? We carry that in us.
Mm-hmm.
We're mm-hmm. the box. Mm-hmm. We're the ark, whatever you want to call it. We're carrying the covenant in us. We carry the authority in us. We carry the life in us. You see all that?
Okay. So what do? Testify. Right?
We're the witness of
that. We're the witness.
A born-again believer, we're the witness of the life of God, the authority of God, the covenant of God. We're witness to it.
That's good.
Go ahead.
He made poles of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold. He put the poles into the rings on the sides of the testimony box so it could be carried.
Don't touch God's stuff. Uzzah could tell you about that. They're trying to bring back that box, that witness. The Philistines sent it on a cart. When David had such a desire to get it into Jerusalem, they followed the world's way. And it cost us his life, because when the oxen stumble and he reaches out his hand, he violates, because God has said, don't touch it. The poles are in it to carry it. You carry the presence of God on your shoulders. You don't touch it. You carry it. You with me? I'm telling you, too many people are violating the... They're trying to get God into a place, carrying it through programs and all types of man-made systems and ideas. The churches today use the same strategy that the world uses, even called marketing your church. We get calls on this. People want to market your church, market your college. Well, so we don't advertise. I'm not interested in advertising. You follow me? I'm not interested in following the world's way. Let's do it God's way. You understand? Just do it God's way. And then let's make sure we're not touching the things of God, but we keep the poles. We carry it, but we carry it on poles. You understand? Because to me, here's what that's just saying. You're recognizing the sacredness of the holy thing you're carrying. And I'm seeing things today that, to me, is somewhat frightful at how flippant people are with the Holy Spirit to operate in gifts of the Spirit and all that, and to make it drama. And you get in, you start touching things you need to leave alone. No, that's God. We're going to carry it God's way. You with me?
The lid for the testimony box was made of pure gold. It was 2.5 cubits, 45 inches long, and 1.5 cubits, 27 inches wide. Forged into the lid were 2 cherubs of gold. The cherubs were on opposite ends of the lid. Their wings were spread out and covered the lid. The cherubim faced each other, but their faces looked down at the lid.
So this is a table made of shittim wood overlaid with gold. There's 3 pieces of furniture in the holy place. The table of showbread, the golden candlestick, and the golden altar of incense. Excuse me, but on the table of showbread, daily, the bread is placed on that table in loaves in an orderly manner. And it's a display. It's a display of life. Man shall not live by bread alone. Okay. But it's a display of life. Which to me, I believe the way the Lord revealed this to me, is dealing with the will of man. Your life, your will is displayed on a daily basis. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Your will is valuable. I mean, we're on a table of gold here. You follow me? But you'll find at this time there was a curtain, a veil between the presence of God and the mind, will, and emotions of man. And the veil had to be removed to where we can get our will conformed to His will. Our emotions stimulated by the heart of the Father. Our illumination not coming from the world, but our illumination coming from a true source, the Word of God. We are the light of the world, right?
Verse 15, the poles of shittim wood were overlaid with gold, were made to carry the table. And then verse 16, the utensils went on the table that were made of pure gold. These utensils included bowls, dishes, containers, and pitchers.
All these are called holy things.
Mm-hmm.
Holy things you couldn't touch. They carried them on poles. If you go to the next verse, they said, I'm going to tell you about the candelabrum.
Yeah.
You just didn't grab that thing by the shaft and walk off with it. It was put in certain material. You will see this here in a minute. It's wrapped with the things that pertain to it and put on a pole, and they carry it out on their shoulders. Holy things are borne on men's shoulders. And men aren't touching them, but they're manifesting them. You follow me? Actually, the Levites couldn't even see them.
Mm-hmm.
The Kohathites carried them, but they couldn't see them. God warned them, don't you cut off a tribe. God warned Moses. You tell Aaron, and actually Eleazar was the one who was the overseer of this. They were to go in, the priest, and cover all these things up with the poles in them. And then once everything is covered, then the Kohathites could carry them, but they couldn't see them. And they couldn't touch them. You carry them on the pole. Okay? And we've got to learn the difference between common and holy. We've got to learn the difference between God and the world, God and the flesh. A lot of things that are going on today are just flesh. It's people do things out of their heart. There's demonic things. There's obviously God things. But there's also flesh things, to where people just do what they feel like's the right thing to do. And you see a lot of this even presented as a gift of the Spirit, to where someone is telling you what they want you to have, not what God said. Or someone is wanting to encourage you and doing it under the guise of God called me to tell you. And there's a difference. You don't tamper with the holy things of God. And we try to be very cautious with that. I've told people, I said, look, it's obvious to me that you're oppressed. Everybody in the room knows that. God didn't show it to me. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way right now. Okay? Not going to present this as I've got some divine revelation. No, I've got common sense that told me that. And if your chin's on your chest, you look like you lost your last friend, I know you're oppressed. Is there anything I can do to help you?
Mm-hmm.
But there are other times when the Lord just may speak to you, not because of the countenance of the person so much, but God just speaks to you and reveals something to you to encourage that person to get them out of that state of oppression. One's holy. Treated as holy, treated as sacred. But don't go in and try to mix flesh with holy. Okay?
Verse 17. The candelabrum was made of pure gold. It was forged into shape. Its shaft, tubes, cups, and blossoms were all one piece. They were consistent in size and shape.
Yeah, we've already mentioned that. As far as carrying it and telling you, everything was made according mm-hmm. to the pattern. It's consistent, okay? God knows how He wants things illuminated. I'll tell you this about the illumination of that candlestick. It was illuminated by the special ingredient. Right? The olive oil is going mm-hmm. in it. What's it doing? Actually, you can see this a little bit in Zechariah, where he talks about the two witnesses, and he talks about the candlestick and the olive tree, and the oil coming from the olive tree to go into that. Our witness is the Spirit of God illuminating this. When the Holy Spirit gives me illumination, then I can be a witness. I can shine. You follow me? Just talking to somebody today, as a matter of fact, actually, they were saying something to me, and they don't even profess to be born again. Talking about a person, telling them how good they are, he said, I believe if you're good and you saved it, that you don't have to tell people. I said, you're right. If I have to tell you how good I am, I got a problem. If you can't see it, you with me? And so it's the Spirit of God. Paul said there's nothing good in my flesh. So what is it that people are to see? Not you. They're to see the Spirit of God shining through you. He gives you the ability to shine. It's the presence of God. It's the illumination of God going through you. Okay?
Yes, sir. Three tubes or stems went out from the shaft of the candelabrum on each side. The tubes and center shaft produced the seven lights. Under each of the tubes was an elaborate cup shaped like a complete almond flower. All six were shaped the same. On the main shaft of the candelabrum were four almond flower cups shaped exactly the same. Four almond-flowered-shaped bowls were to be forged at the bottom of the stems of the candelabrum where it went into the main shaft. A knob was to be placed under each set of the two stems coming from the shaft. A total of four knobs were forged into the main shaft of the candelabrum. This complete design was to be forged as one piece.
Now, this is a very elaborate candlestick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ornate. I mean, there's such a design with this thing. And it's here again, it's made God's way. This thing is to be beautiful. The light of God is to be beautiful. Okay? And we're not to make it offensive with flesh and all this other stuff. Okay? We are called the light of the world. We should be beautiful. I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about our countenance and the way we present. They should see the beauty of the Lord in it. Not how well you can speak. Not how well you impress people. But do they see God? You understand? Do they see God? And then, as a candlestick, we need to present ourselves well, you understand, to where we're at least desirable, to where people would want what you have. You know, and if you're always murmuring and complaining, you need to get saved like me. Well, why would I want to be like you? I got it better. I don't murmur and complain every day.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to make sure that we're carrying this light in a very presentable way. Okay, there's a lot to glean out of this. The things I'm sharing with you now are just coming to me. I mean, it's not that we've planned this or anything.
We're going to read a little bit later that this candelabrum, it had to be cared for daily, had to be dressed daily.
And let me tell you something about that. What does it look like? I don't have a clue. And you don't either.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go on the internet and you can pull up images. And you can get all different opinions of men, all different imaginations. One thing I do know, this thing was beautiful. This thing was crafted. This thing's made in one piece. You understand? This is all God. You follow me? This is the way He wants the light to shine. And you'll find when they placed it, it was to shine a certain way. Not against the wall. Never sung this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was to face the table of showbread. It gives illumination to the wheel. This is God's way. Okay?
So as beautiful as this candelabrum is, and the fact that it had to be dressed and cared for, that points to our job, our duty.
Well, evening and every morning.
Mm-hmm.
It burned in darkness. So it didn't burn all the time. When they offered the evening sacrifice, they lit the candelabrum. And in the morning, when they burnt the incense. And in the morning, when they offered the morning sacrifice, they snuffed out the candelabrum and trimmed everything, make sure everything's clean, burn incense again. This was a daily routine. Every day. And so, yes, it does have to be maintained. Jesus was the light of the world as long as He was in the world. Now, that's the perfection of the candlestick.
Yeah.
But then He tells us that now we're the light of the world.
Mm-hmm. The seven-stem candelabrum and all of its accessories were made from a talent, which is approximately 75 pounds, of pure gold.
Now, this, where we put a number on this as far as what a talent weighs, I'm convinced that nobody knows.
Yeah.
Not a biblical talent. Okay? Because you look at the different scholars and you look at your weights and measures and you come up with different opinions. So what we're doing is giving you an approximate number just based on some research that we've done. And there's no way I'd swear to it. I'm just giving you an idea of things in perspective. And you'll find later on as we go through this study how much gold they brought, as far as how many talents, how much it weighed. And it's getting things in perspective as to this weight, this is the amount of weight, and we use this part to build this part, or to make this part, and we use this to make this, the distribution of it, okay? And you'll find that this wasn't little sheet metal stuff. You understand? When we talk about solid gold, we talk about the silver, and we talk about the basis that's holding up the wall, they had to weigh several pounds. And the gold hooks that the curtains are hanging on and all this, and the covers over the posts, very elaborate. It's not like you go to Hobby Lobby and get. Not that you're going to get gold. No offense to Hobby Lobby, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah. True. A square incense altar was made of shittim wood. It was a cubit long, 18 inches, a cubit wide, 18 inches, and 2 cubits, 36 inches high. It had horns or protrusions at the 4 corners. The top, sides, and horns of the altar were overlaid with pure gold, and a crown molding of gold surrounded it. 4 rings of gold were made to carry the altar. They were located opposite one another at the corners under the gold molding.
Now, I'm not about to tell you that I have all the revelation of any of this stuff. I'm just sharing things with you that I feel like the Lord has shown to me as far as relationship of the various items and the tabernacle and all this. But this is a square altar, not a big altar. This is 3 feet high and you know, 1.5 feet square, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Overlaid with gold. Shittim wood overlaid with gold. Only one thing could be offered on this altar. Nothing else could be offered on this altar. And that is the special ingredient incense. Okay? What is this incense doing? This is going up before the Lord as a sweet smell. Okay? And so this is like praise. This is like worship to the Lord. This incense is just a pleasant fragrance going up to the Lord all the time. To me, this altar represents the emotion. Our emotions going up should always be pleasant to the Lord, stimulated by the Spirit of God. You follow me? And so this is just, to me, symbolic, but very valuable. And another thing is this had to be carried on poles too.
Mm-hmm.
But so often, we subject ourselves to things that stir our emotions. Movies make you cry or mad. The sports that make you want to fight, you know, kill the referee, whatever, you know. It's amazing how you sit in the confines of your own home and get emotional. A person told me one time, and I'll keep this very vague, they went home one evening and their wife was crying. I mean, really crying. And they said, what's wrong? And she said, well, so-and-so died. He said, who's that? I said, I don't know who that is. Come to find out, it was somebody on a soap opera. Subjecting yourself to something that's tearing your emotions up. You understand? You've got to guard your heart with all diligence.
Yeah.
And watch who you hang out with, because it'll affect you. I don't care if they're Christians. It'll still affect you if they have a bad attitude. You get around people with a bad attitude, that thing gets on you if you don't guard it.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody's criticizing somebody. I back years ago, I was in a car with a couple people, ride down the road, you know, going with them to lunch or whatever, minding my own business, and they started talking about something. And I'm going to tell you what, by the time it's over with, I'm ready to fight. It made me mad. And I'm thinking, I've got to learn to control this. Regardless of what environment I'm in, I must set an environment in me to where that can't penetrate. And so I've learned when that conversation's going on to pray in the spirit or to sing to myself. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, I don't even hear what's said. Did you hear me? Well, no, not really. I heard noise. I didn't hear a message. You understand? You've got to guard your heart. You protect yourself. Our emotions must be pleasing to God. And I can tell you right now, bad attitudes is not pleasing to God. Fighting spirits not pleasing to God. Critical spirits not pleasing to God. And these are coming out of emotion. Knows to be a pleasant fragrance. Pleasant fragrance. You don't fake it. It was a death penalty to duplicate that ingredient for that incense. You know that?
Yeah.
You don't fake praise. You don't fake worship. It's got to be a hard thing. Well, everybody lift your hands and let's do this, let's do that. Where's your heart? I can lift my hands and my heart be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But where's my heart?
Mm-hmm.
You with me? So all this is testifying about something. I'm just giving you what a little bit that's been shared with me by the Spirit, okay? You're going to get the words carried on poles, right?
I am.
Okay.
Poles were made of shittim wood and overlaid with gold. These poles went into the gold rings on the altar of incense. The altar was carried with these poles. You want me to keep going?
I've always said that, yeah.
Yes, sir. The craftsmen also made the holy anointing oil and pure incense from fragrant spices, using the technique of a pharmacist or perfumer.
Now, if you have King James, it says apothecary, but if you look it up, you don't find it's a pharmacist. Okay. People who were skilled in mixing ingredients in equal values, okay, that's what it boils down to. And this just shows you that the skilled people involved in building and making all these things for the tabernacle was so varied, many skills. You understand? And so they've got to get this right. This has to be mixed exactly like God said. And it can't be put on flesh. You read it. Mm-hmm. It cannot be put on flesh. You can't use this as perfume, and you can't use this to rub on yourself. You with me? You don't take this stuff and try to make your house smell good or your tent.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is holy. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at this, I just think about the Holy Spirit. Don't duplicate. John 4:24 says God's Spirit, if you're going to worship God, it can only be done one way, in spirit. And you can worship God in spirit in the privacy of your home, riding down the road in your car. You don't have to have a seven-piece band or, the stage full of singers, musicians. That doesn't make it worship. Worship is a heart thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heart thing. If it's not coming out of here, you're just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need somebody pumping me up to worship. So often that's a distraction that keeps me from getting into the place I want to go.
Mm.
No, leave me alone. All right? But there are times that I'm like Elisha, give me a musician. Because if it's anointed, it's an asset.
Mm-hmm.
When it's an inspired, anointed person, it's an asset.
Chapter 38.
Okay.
This documents the making of the brass altar, the brass wash basin and its base, the framework and curtains for the outer court. Also lists the materials used to make the tabernacle and all that pertain to it. The square altar for sacrificing the burnt offerings was made of shittim wood. It was 5 cubits or 7.5 feet long, 5 cubits, 7.5 feet wide, and 3 cubits, 4.5 feet high. It had horns or protrusions on each of the four corners. The entire altar was covered with brass.
Now, it's interesting that this is brass. Mm-hmm. The altar of incense is gold. You look at the things in the Holy of Holies or in the holy place is gold.
Yeah.
But when you come out here to where man is involved, it's brass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Into this brass, you're going to have burnt offerings on this. So, you know, this has to withstand fire too, you understand? And this altar is actually made of shittim wood overlaid with brass. The wood, what keeps the wood from burning is no oxygen can get to it. And the brass is where the fire is actually put on with. Obviously, you have a brass grate, as we'll see as we go along. But my time's up, and I'm going to have to stop, so we'll have to come back to this, okay?
Okay.
Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you be before you. Amen.